Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Great, what a privilege to share the word this morning. Yesterday I went with David. He was invited to a birthday party. It's my son, he's 10, the middle one, and it was a birthday party. Birthday parties these days, kids' birthday parties are a bit different to when I grew up. I don't know if you've noticed that. But this one was at City Rock. It was at the indoor climbing place in Irene. And yeah, they went for it, eh? It was amazing, those boys. At the beginning, everybody was careful and, you know, listening to the instructors. By the end, they went ballistic, I must say. It was, I think the instructors were very glad when our time was up. But what a was a bunch of fun, really great. I just want to briefly recap. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this time in your presence. And we're so thankful that you've already ministered so powerfully, Lord. And we choose now, each one, we choose to draw near to you right now, Lord. And we choose to draw our hearts near to you. We choose to set aside distractions, and we choose to fix our eyes, our hearts on you, God, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would impart life to us, that you would minister to each one, Lord, that your kingdom would be established in us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to do a quick recap. So we're in the middle of our prayer and fast month, and we've been ministering about a bunch of things that we're also praying about. So if you've missed a bit, let me just very briefly catch you up. And so Philip started with Jesus and how he builds people, how he builds not only us, but he builds in us and through us, and he uses us, and he makes use of people to build his kingdom. And then the prayer points there were how can you and I build into somebody around me? Well, who am I building into? Remember? So that first week, that's what we prayed, but it was our focus on, and who are we building into? Then also, how am I building community around me in a church family environment, in terms of small group, in terms of getting involved, etc.? Some, you know, praying around that. And then my role in this building thing. And you would have seen, if you're on the WhatsApp group, you'd have seen a bunch of little video clips coming through of the different areas where you are welcome to come and be a part of building. And that could be very practical. It could be a children's church, could be different places, but you might have seen those videos come through. So that was what we were praying about in that first week. And then last week we were praying about how are we engage the kingdom with our giving, and how we partner with God in giving of our time, giving of our resource, giving of what God entrusts to us. And remember, the prayer points were, you know, what is it that God is leading me to give, and in what area can I sow into? So we had specific prayer points that we prayed about. So it was the three main points that we asked you to pray about giving into was worship, students, and also missions. So if you missed out on any of that, please go and listen and go and pray with us about those things. And then, yo, I want to start with a question. Can we go to the beginning? Are we near the... Okay, great. There. Okay. So in terms of... This is a question, and it's interesting how it's come up this morning. Beforehand, we were praying, and one of the things I had on my heart was, you know, that that God invites us. He says, as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. So that is an incredible promise. He's opened the way through Christ for us to be able to draw near to him, right? And then he promises that the moment we choose to draw near to him, he immediately reciprocates. He immediately draws near to us. And that's such a, actually, if you think about it, really profound promise. And you know, we've often heard it said here amongst us that we are as close to God as we choose to be, right? So in terms of intimacy, in terms of spending time with God, as Anton was saying, that is a choice that we make, right? And often in my life, going through seasons, you feel, yo, I need more of Jesus. It's funny how you grow older and you're more experienced, and maybe even in hopefully in maturity in your relationship with Christ. And it's not like you need Christ less. It's the other way around. You need him more. And the more you grow in your faith, the more you realize how much more you need him. Amen. And my question to us this morning is, I want you to give me some answers, okay? Just this little bit in the beginning. You can shout out answers. At the end, don't do that. No, I'm just kidding. But what would the result be of us spending significantly more time with God and also in prayer and intercession? Just give me some thoughts. Less stress. Hallelujah. That's a good one, eh? Yes, shout. Peace of mind. Amen. I agree. Yes. Being more intentional. Anybody? I thought we would probably become more like Jesus. Amen? Spend more time with him. Do you want to give some? Clarity. Hallelujah. We need that. Eh? Yeah, so there's a bunch of things. If you think about it, obviously I've sprung this on you, so I haven't given you time to think about it. But if you think about it a bit, there's a bunch of things that come up in terms of, well, I'm sure this is going to change in me because spending time with Christ means I'll become more like him. So maybe I'll become more patient. I'm thinking we probably grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Spending time with him, spending time in prayer and intercession. So all of those things I'm sure are true. And, that something that we can really aspire to. I want to share this story with you from history that really inspires me. And it's a group of believers called the Moravians. You might have heard of them. And they found themselves in exile, living outside of their country in Germany, in a community of about 300 of their people at that point. And at one point, things weren't going so well. A group of believers, right? So there were 300 of them. And then they started a prayer movement. They said, okay, we're going to pray because we need more of Christ. So we're going to spend time praying. So they set out a roster and they allocated hours. So then they started a 24/7 prayer chain. And that means, I volunteer for this hour and then somebody's after me and then we each commit for an hour. And there were about 50 people out of the 300, right? So that's less than 20%, is it? And so about 50 out of the 300 committed, and they started praying hour by hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that's significant, isn't it? As a congregation, as a group, significant commitment in terms of time with God, time in his presence. And the fruit of this prayer is astounding. This prayer meeting lasted more than 100 years. They continued 24 hours, 7 days a week, for over 100 years. Some say it was up to 127 years or something. Okay? Now, I don't have all the information, but I read a bit, and what I found is what would be the result? Now, one of the biggest results of them spending this time with God was that they started sending missionaries. This was in the 1700s. Okay, they started sending missionaries across the globe from that small group of people. A couple of years after that, they had sent 300 people. So they were 50 started praying, but a couple of years later, they had already sent 300 far. So that's not talking about local outreaches. And what really impacted me was one of the major results of them spending time with God, resulting in them going to the nations. Now, please just for a moment take into consideration the context of a mission trip in that time. The early missionaries of those times, not obviously the disciples, the apostles, we know their stories, that's scary on its own. But often, and this was true even up to the 1900s, missionaries that would go into hostile environments went with a one-way ticket, and often they didn't take a suitcase. They put all their belongings in a coffin because they knew the chances are very good that they would not return, and the chances are very good that they would need the coffin. So that's how they went. Okay, so this is not I'm not saying what we're doing is fun and games, but what I'm saying is that there was a serious heart commitment when you went on a mission trip in those years. So this was one of the major visible fruits of this prayer, is that they had this absolute conviction and passion for missions, and they sent people across the globe to take the gospel to the most far-flung places of the planet. And there was a legend has it that they had the song that they would sing when people got onto the ship to go on to be missionaries, and knowing that they would not come back, knowing that they would never see their families again. They had the song that they would sing, and the people on the shore would sing the song, and the people on the boat would sing the song, and it would go something like to win for the Lamb that was slain the reward of his suffering. And they would just sing this over and over as they would go into the distance until they couldn't hear each other anymore. But they had this absolute passion to go with the gospel. And what you know, when we look at Western Christianity in terms of often how it lends, kind of goes towards a consumerist type of Christianity, often, you know, one would think, when we look from that perspective, one would maybe think, if I spend more time with God, maybe my business will be blessed, or my career would really take off, or maybe my kids will be more blessed, which is amazing, you know. But we often, you know, from that kind of Western comfortable Christianity angle, we probably hope for a result of our prayer that would something that blesses us, or that improves our lives. Right? Are you with me? Or is it just me? But when we look at this, it's so clear that the major fruit was not something that would be comfortable for me. But the major fruit was me laying my life down for the sake of the gospel of Christ and going into wherever he would send me. So they drew near to God, and the result was them being sent under the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. Can you guys hear me at the back there? If the door open there is too noisy, we can close the one, but it's very hot in here, so we don't want to close it too much. All right. I mean, so, and we see the same theme in Scripture, and I want us to look at a bunch of Scriptures around this. We can go to the next. Okay, yeah, so we're looking this morning at the let's go of the gospel, the going part of the gospel, and yeah, these are some of the nations that we've already sent teams to in the past. And but let's go on to this first scripture in Matthew chapter 4. And I want us to recognize the pattern here of us drawing near to Christ and then being sent out in obedience to his word. From verse 18 says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Other translations, some of them say, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But I like both of those ways of saying it. And the making, I will make you, for me, is encouraging because he's saying, listen, you need to choose to follow. I will do the making. I will make you. And then he says, yeah, in this translation, he says, I will send you. So those two go together, him empowering us and changing us and transforming us and then sending us out. But can you see, so he's calling them to follow, but then he says, I'm going to send you as well. They go together. I'm following Christ with the understanding that I will be sent as well. He commits to making us fishers of men. He commits to sending us as fishers of men. And now, as we go through these examples, I want you to keep in mind that at this point, the Holy Spirit had not been poured out. And so they were going from the presence of Jesus out, but we do not go from the presence of Jesus. Yes, he sends us from a place of intimacy, but the Spirit of God goes with us as we go. Hallelujah. For me, that is a significant difference. Amen. So let's look at the next one. Matthew 11. And now this is a kind of a different angle, but I want you to notice a similar pattern here. Verse 28 says, come to me, all, this is from the Amplified, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, okay, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. And I wanted you to notice that even in the context of Jesus saying, those that are burdened, those that are tired, those that are weary, come to me. And then he promises that there will be rest. Hallelujah. It's always, I love it. It's a good promise. I mean, I will give you rest. But then he adds this dynamic of purpose. He says, there's rest and you can learn from me. Hallelujah, that's good news. But then he adds the purpose element. He says, take my yoke. A yoke was something of purpose. There was something to be plowed or something to be pulled. There was always a purpose. There was a direction. There was a plan. And it involved partnership, right? Two oxen together, or us yoking with Jesus, it speaks of partnership. But the image of him inviting us to himself to find rest, not only rest in salvation, which is the biggest rest that we need in eternal life, but also rest in terms of living not under the stress of the world, but from a place of rest in the Spirit. But with that invitation to learn from him. All right? And learning, I don't know, something, I don't, at a certain age, maybe we're not so keen on learning anymore. But learning almost inevitably involves us growing, changing, and change always involves pain and discomfort. Because it's comfortable to stay the same. It's comfortable to remain the same. But as we are learning, one has to, what, there is an element of, oh, okay, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm understanding something else, I'm learning about myself, I'm growing, and I have to change. Amen? Okay, this is a difficult part. So there was one amen there at the back. Okay. So he invites us to himself to find rest, but he also includes this element of learning, growing, changing, and an element of yoking with him in his purpose. So even in this verse that we love to quote in terms of him encouraging us, strengthening us, giving us rest, that he speaks of his yoke and his purpose and his burden. So he doesn't have nothing for us to bear, but what he has planned for us to bear is easy for us to bear in the power of the Holy Spirit. The stuff that everybody else puts on us is not easy to bear. The stuff that we carry that is not of God, that's not fine at all. But the burden and the yoke that he gives us is a blessing. It is something where we thrive in. It's something where we grow in. It's something that we partner with Him in. And that is where we find true fulfillment in Him. Amen. Okay. Let's go on. Luke 19. Yes, just to quantify the purpose and the yoke and the purpose of God. 19 verse 7. And when they saw it, this is when Jesus went to eat with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. When they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Can you believe it? Shocking. He is gone. Jesus went to eat with him. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham." And then he quantifies why he's there. He says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So if there's any confusion about what is that yoke that Christ is talking about, that purpose that he is talking about, this is it. He says, "This is why I've come, to seek and to save the lost." So he invites us to himself to find rest. Yes, he invites us to himself to learn, to grow, to mature in our faith, to change, to be more like him. Amen? And then part of that is to yoke with him in his purpose and in his plan. Okay. In Matthew 10, we see a similar thing. When he sends the disciples out. And when he had called them, when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And I see this pause there. I see that as part of the learning, right? He not only teaches us, but he gives us power. He gives us power over the enemy. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need this power? Because he's sending us out, amen. Because we have to go out from the place of comfort, out from the place that we like and we're comfortable with, and into what he has called us in. Let's go on at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans." Pause there. Giving them very specific instructions. Okay, so that's one of the things we'll be praying about this week. And I want to show you from the word that we can trust the Holy Spirit to give us specific details. He give us show us specific places that he wants us to go. Lay specific countries and places on our hearts. He says, don't go there, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's like the full, the full shebang, right? All day. And he's not... He's saying it very specifically, and then he ends with this. He says, "Freely you have received, now freely give." So yes, we come to Christ, and we receive rest for our souls. We receive salvation, and we learn, and we grow, and we mature, and we grow in our faith. And then he says, "But you have received so much. Now you need to freely give in the way that you have received." Hallelujah. He's not inviting us. He's not telling us to give something that we haven't received already. Okay, he's saying, "Freely you have received the fullness of Christ. Now freely give it in the same way." But can you see that he doesn't leave us powerless? He gives us power that we need for the work that he has set before us. He gives us power by the Spirit of God for every good work that he has set before us. Okay. And then Luke 10, the 70 others, verse 1 to 3, says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also." Now, these were also his followers, right? So they were also in relationship. They were also learning. They were also growing. They were also changing and maturing. They also received power. And he says he sent them two by two before his face. It speaks of a place of intimacy, right? Coming from that place of drawing near to God, coming into the place of, "I'm committed to his presence. I'm committed to the word. I want to be more like Christ." And then that results in him sending them out into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And it said that the Moravians, that this is one of their main prayer points. And it seems that the Lord answered their prayers by sending them. So be careful you pray these prayers. But it's so powerful that through those over 100 years, that the Moravians became the answer to their own prayers as God sent them as laborers into the harvest field. But he sends us out of his presence. He sends us with his presence, but from a place of intimacy. But he sends us, and he says, where he himself was about to go. So not only does he prepare the way for us, but he also comes behind us. He comes behind us and he confirms his word, as scripture says. All right, so I want us to look at just a couple of images of the last year's teams that went out. Just a very brief video clip. And then we're going to look at what we've got planned for this year so long. So just look at the screen for a moment. Thanks. Okay. So after the COVID period, we had to slowly build again on our missions program. And the last year we had a couple of teams. There was also a team that went down to Live Village in Durban to help there, which we didn't include there. And there was also, we did some local efforts to Live Lanseria as well. We helped out there a bit. What we're trusting for is that each person in church, whether you're new or old or been around for a long time or not, that each of us can stretch our faith, say, I want to be a part of one effort to go out this year. Whether that means close by to Live Lanseria, where we're going to serve and we're going to minister there, the Live Village there, the orphanage and the community there, or whether we go to a church plant that we support, or whether you want to go to join a trip to India or Botswana or Zimbabwe, etc. There's a whole bunch of a range of different opportunities. Okay, and I want to re-encourage us that yes, we will pray, and I want you to make a decision now. That's why we're saying this is the prayer focus, right, for this coming week, saying, Lord, speak to me about where you would like us to go. Speak to me where you would like me to go. And yes, our going does start with our neighbors and with our colleagues, etc. That's where it starts. There's a lifestyle there. But beyond that, there is a call for us not only to go to our Jerusalem, which was our backyard, but also to our wider area where the scripture says talks about Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So that call is part of our commission to go. Amen. And you've seen there were families involved, young and old, you know, from the youngest to the oldest. Mission is not just for a small group of people. I want to really encourage you. You know, often we think about something like this, and you think, you know what, I'll pray for them, or maybe I'll contribute to the finances. Please do those things as well. But I want you to encourage you to pray those bold prayers and say, Lord, where would you have me go? Amen. Lekker. All right. So this year, we got a couple of things already that we're planning. But I want to say to you right from the start that if the Lord lays something on your heart that's not on this list, please come and talk to us. Amen. Please come and share. God has spoken to me about this place. We want to take a team there, or can we pray into this, or can we consider this? All right. Are you with me? Don't just say, okay, nothing of this interests me. Pray about it. And if the Lord gives you something else, then come and chat to us. Speak to your small group. Chat to us and say, what about this place? Okay, we are so open for the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us and direct us in the way that he prepares us. All right, so Botswana, I don't know if you can still join. I think it's too late for that one. Anton says you can make a plan. But do pray for them. They're leaving on Friday, and they're going on to the 4th of March. please pray for them. If you want to still sow into that trip, that will be very welcome as well. In terms of finances, it's a lot of kilometers they're going to be covering, so fuel is expensive. Apparently they're fasting half the time, so the food isn't so expensive. Just a joke, just a joke. Net a grappie. Okay. So, okay, they but if you want to sow, but please pray for them and please sow into that if you want to. The Live Durban team, there's a youth festival happening from the 15th to the 21st of June. The cost is roughly 2,500 rand. So I'm giving you this information to prepare you. So you don't have to choose and decide right now, but you know what to pray about in this week, okay? Zimbabwe, there's dates will be confirmed, but the scouting team went out last year, and there's a bunch of connections that Philip made, and we're so excited to go and minister in some of the major towns. Cost a bit more there. The Molopua Summit is the one we've been going to for a couple of years now on the border of Botswana. It's a network of pastors that we're ministering to and that we're serving there. So they have a mini pastor summit. We have a bunch of speakers coming in normally, and the team, we had the privilege of serving them in terms of meals and prayer and intercession and ministry, which is always a winner. And it's short. It's normally just a weekend. This time there might be an option for some of the team to stay on for the week, for the next weekend as well, which will increase the cost. So just keep that in mind. And then the local church plants that we normally send teams to are Shofar Tzanin and Shofar Polokwane. The Live that is in Lanseria, that's the ministry under the foster kids and orphans in the community near Lanseria. We are hoping to partner with them again. We don't have specific dates yet, but that would probably not be as we might stay over one night, but it's close enough that we can drive there and come back. So that's more local. And then there is potential for us to join with some of the other congregations as people are sending teams to places like India, Nepal, and further afield. So this is just the start there. And guys, let me say that in all my years of going on mission, you know, I started when I was a very poor student with no extra money. And you started, I think the first trip I went to, the cost was 1,000 rand, which was a lot of money 20 odd years ago. And over the years, the Lord stretched my faith, and every trip got more expensive and further. Okay. But it's so amazing how the Lord stretches your faith. And every single time the Lord provided in abundance. Even though I did not have the cash, He made a way. Saved some, got blessed with some, and some, I don't know where it came from, but God made a way. And, you know, even to a point where going to India, which seemed so impossible, became possible, and God provided for that. And I've been there, what was it now, 4, 5, 6 times. So I want to encourage you, this is a faith journey. Okay, so grow in it, trust God, start with a close one if you must, but extend your faith to grow as time goes. All right, what can you do right now? Okay, so the first thing is to do is to pray. Please pray. Don't make any choices out of your own flesh. Go and pray this week. What is God stirring in my heart? Maybe He's stirring something in your heart right now. That's amazing. But do pray. And say, God, where do you want me to go? And if it's not on the list, then come and speak to us, all right? But then also prepare yourself. You know what I loved about that story we read the other day about Jehoshaphat? He's prepared himself and the nation to move in obedience. So they put the band in front of the army because God said they shouldn't fight, right? So he moved in obedience, even in preparation. So I want to challenge you, start to move in obedience. Even if God hasn't said, you shall go there, start by saving up. Start getting your passport ready. Start by praying into it. Attend the Let's Go training day. It's on the 21st of March. It's a Thursday. I know it's a Thursday, but it's a holiday. Amen. So nobody's got work that day or class. So we set that day aside. You can diarize it. Even if you don't have a clue where you want to go, that is a great place to start. Say, Lord, I'm going to come and be equipped. All right? One of the best parts to equip yourself is to come to the Encounter seminars, to join Bible school, which is starting soon. even if you just join a couple of open sessions at the beginning, just to pray about it, do come. Because as we equip ourselves, as we put ourselves in a place where God equips us, we are more effective in our ministry. Amen? So equip yourself, join the Encounter Series, join Bible School, get your passport ready, start saving up. For those of us here that love a good coffee every day, I've made the sums. You can save in 6 months 4,500 rand by just skipping one coffee a day. Huh? That's amazing. That's just weekdays. If you drink coffee on weekends, well, it's more than that. So there are ways, amen? There are ways to save up for this kind of thing. So join the training day, join a small group. There's a lot of equipping that happens in our small groups. And for instance, our serving is part of our equipping to go. For instance, if we go to a place where we will work with children, then serving a children's church is going to be a great preparation. Does that make sense? Or when we go to a place where we'll be ministering in intercession, then joining intercession is going to be great equipping. Amen. All right, let me close. It's hot and it's long. Let's close with Acts 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, to the end and to the end of the earth. You will be my witnesses in Pretoria, in all Gauteng, and surrounding areas, and to the ends of the earth. So this is the challenge that I lay before us this morning. God does call us to intimacy. But what I've seen is that intimacy leads to a conviction that we cannot stay in a place of comfort, but that we have been sent to go to the ends of the earth. Amen. And it's not just for students, it's not just for young people, it's not just for unmarried. Our family's been on mission a couple of times, and it's been the best times. The most miracles I've seen in healing and in other miracles that God has done has been on mission trips, by far. Yes, we see them in church, yes, people get healed, but it's as if stuff happens when we go out in faith. We see miracles that we do not see every day. We want to see them every day. I mean, Anton, I agree. So let's go on mission. Let's grow in those gifts, and let's come back with that faith. I mean, but it's for every one of us. I want to ask you, pray, expecting God to speak to you, expecting God to lead you, and then move in obedience. Okay. And Isaiah 6 verse 8, the Lord speaks to Isaiah, but he kind of speaks in general. He says, who shall we send? Who shall go for us? And then Isaiah is standing in front of him like this. He says, here I am, Lord. Send me. And I pray that same heart will be in us, that we will not be, you know, oh no, I'll be sitting on the side and I'll be praying, but that we'll be the one saying, here I am. Here we are as a family. Send us. Amen. Let's stand this evening. Let's stand this morning.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.